and it went like.
Hi everybody, this is Patty Toledo with Buas Games Grind Set. There was gonna be a day that I'm not gonna remember the name of my own show anymore. I swear to God that will happen soon. And today we're talking with Tim Van Ken, and I will let him. And again, Tim, I am famous for pretty much butchering every name ever. Yours, I thought, like, I will not butcher Tim's because it's an easy name to say. Yeah, no, I already said that. I noticed that I said Ken is probably Khan, and sorry. So,
no worries.
Hi, Tim. Welcome here to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for having me. I think you did the name very well, especially.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Not a Dutch person. Yeah, no worries. So, my name is Tim, and I'm a lecturer in year two of game design and production. And I'm there as a sort of a technical designer. So I have a lot of background in Unreal Engine. A lot of my knowledge is in that tool set. And I try to teach the next generation of game developers how to work with Unreal and game design in general.
And you're also an authorized trainer for Unreal, right? Like, how long have you been working with Unreal?
That's correct. I am an authorized trainer, and that is because I've been working with Unreal since I studied at BUAS, which is a few years ago now. Unreal Engine was still a monthly subscription fee back in the day, and not a lot of people were using it. So I took a bit of a risk when I started using it, but I saw the blueprint system that they have, so the visual scripting. And for the first time, I felt like I was able to make something myself, prototype a game idea that I had. And ever since then, it really just clicked with me. And I just invested all of my time into that tool. And that eventually led to a lot of cool opportunities working with the tools and me becoming an authorized instructor, which means that Epic Games, the maker of Unreal Engine, basically said, hey, you can trust this person to know Unreal and he can teach it as well.
Yeah, which is super cool. And we're like here at Buas, we're always telling the lecturers to go that path. And you are the great example of that. We always use you as an example. Sorry about that.
No, that's awesome. That's great. That's funny because I sort of landed. It sort of happened on accident almost that I got that role. Somebody asked me to take that test so I can help them out as a training center. And then I found out that I'm one of the few people that that was actually an authorized instructor at the time. So it's been a really cool seal of approval.
And I think for the people that are in the games industry and have been working in the games industry for a while, it's quite natural and they know Unreal quite well. They know why the company is used. But for the people that are just joining the games industry or is a student trying to get in here, why Unreal? Why that one and not all the other engines that are out there?
Currently, it is just one of the bigger game engines that a lot of companies are adopting. And if they're not, then they're taking elements of that and applying that to their own game engine as well. Like the visual scripting has really opened up a lot of opportunities, especially for designers and artists to attach logic, create their own gameplay, create their own games instead of having to go the traditional route of writing out all of the code. I think outside of that, there's a lot that comes with Unreal, which means it's a bit overwhelming to learn for some people, but there's so many things that just work out of the box that are already present in there. You get a beautiful rendering, right? We've all seen the gorgeous images, and they're constantly expanding on these tools that make it interesting for individuals or small teams to jump in because they get such a strong framework. But also for bigger studios, keeping up and maintaining an engine is really expensive. So you see some studios switching to Unreal as well. CD Projekt Red as a recent example, and I think Microsoft, the Halo Studios, has also been switching to Unreal more and more.
I find interesting in Unreal that it's one engine, but the use is so diversified because you can You can use it as a programmer or as a designer or as a visual artist, or you can do it for virtual production or VFX. Like the tool will be something else for you based on what you want to do. And you as designer, you were mentioning that the fact that you could prototype by yourself was a big selling point for you. It's interesting how it's organized that way, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's two different elements to that statement, right? There's the, this is a tool, and this is all, Epic Games is playing into this. They want to become this general tool for everything. So that's why you see recently they added rigging. You can now rig a character in Unreal and do basic animations. You can use a lot of procedural content generation with the new PCG system. It's not as extensive or as complicated as these other tools that are out there for procedural generation, but you can do the fundamentals in Unreal. They're trying to keep the developers inside of those tools. And then when you look at the output, it's the other side of that comment you just made. There's a lot of just great opportunities outside of games while you can still work in Unreal Engine. I've seen architectural visualization companies work on Unreal, clothing stores put up digital displays. They set that up using Unreal Engine. I've done multiple TV projects, so a commercial or a short show that utilize Unreal in a way to support what they're making. A lot of the Netflix shows and what you see, like what you mentioned, the XR stage, right? The Mandalorian from Disney, that's all of the background that's being rendered, that's all inside of Unreal. So you really can go a lot of different directions if you know this tool, which has been an awesome experience.
Yeah, and I know the people from Epic will love us because we're always selling Unreal, like, yes, the best thing, sorry, is that we use that, and they work very closely with us. It, well, in all fairness, we do not get paid to do that, to do all that at all. We are really just users that appreciate that. And what you said is, for the students, a lot of times it's a little bit taunting when they start, but when they actually get familiarized with the tool, the possibilities of what they can do, how far they can go with that are quite big. But I wanted to go, because you work with the designers directly. How is the tool for designers? Because I think when people think of game engines, they think normally of programmers doing the game there or visual artists work, but the designers have a very specific way of using Unreal, right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on what your emphasis is like. We have level designers, of course, which work a lot with the world building tools. And if you're a system designer, you might be working with more blueprints or other systems. But in general, what a designer will work with is a blueprint, a visual scripting system of Unreal. And what's nice about that is that there's a lot of recurring elements inside of the different features of Unreal. So maybe you are making some logic, you want your character to move, you use blueprint visual scripting to set up that logic, right? I press W on the keyboard and then the character starts moving. A lot of these visual elements of how to set this up are shared between the different features of Unreal, so that if you're making a material, right, you want to maybe you want a cube to be red or a sphere to be blue, you need to apply a material to it to make it look blue. Mm-hmm. The material editor has a lot of visual similarities to making a blueprint. And the same goes for things like animations. We can spend time setting up animation blueprints. And there's a lot of crossover with blueprints. So once you familiarize yourself maybe with making some gameplay, you have your character walking through the space, then it's easier to learn about how to make the character actually play a walking animation. But in general, designers, what I teach them is fundamentals in a lot of these different tools, so that they're comfortable exploring the different directions that you can go in with Unreal.
I will make a very stupid question, and listeners, if you know Unreal quite well, you're gonna roll your eyes now. Go ahead, roll your eyes. But for people like me that don't know anything, what is a blueprint?
Pooh.
Sorry.
There's no stupid questions. Let me start off with that. And there's no, especially when you're learning and as a student, right? There's no bad way to do things. I mean, it's always just ask the questions you're curious about and show the things you want feedback on. How do I explain a blueprint? It is an actor, an entity, something. I'm gonna say a blueprint actor. What are you curious about? The
Is it the blueprint?
as
Is
a
it like Visual Studio when you're using Unity? Is the part that you are making blocks and dragging them around to create a certain logic when you're creating the game? Is that the same idea?
yes. Yeah, if you create a blueprint actor, then you are creating logic for the game. So inside of a blueprint, you'll have these different blocks that you connect to each other. And basically, what this is a bunch of C++ code wrapped up inside of a visual block. So I can have a block that says the W key on my keyboard, and that is just a block that I have on my screen. And I can connect a wire to a movement block. And that means that these two are now related, so that when I press W, the movement code will be executed.
Yeah, so
But it
it is like
helps. Yeah.
Visual Script
Yeah.
on Unity. Is that I used Unity before to do the same thing, and then in that we were doing Visual Script. That's why I was
Yeah.
asking. Like, I
Yeah,
do
it's Visual
need to
Scripting.
start going to Unreal more.
Yeah. Yeah,
But
but
I'm a
we
manager,
should.
so
Yes, it's hard.
it's
Hard to find the time.
like yeah. No, it's a I, that that's an excuse I don't give. It's not hard to find the time. I just need to give the motivation and go there and do. But it's
Yeah.
cool. When the students are starting to learn, what is the biggest like difficulty that they have? Because I imagine it's a really a big tool. It might be like quite overwhelming when they open it for the first time and they suddenly like they are excited. They want to do something great in Unreal, but they also don't know where to start. So what do you see is their biggest barrier when they start?
Yeah, I think there's a that this is different for every person, right? I know
Of
that if
course.
the yeah, if I look at myself, I am intimidated by new things. So if I have never touched anything before, then I'm unlikely to touch it unless I really, really need it, or I find a way to force myself to jump into it. And there's a lot of different windows, menus, features, tools inside of Unreal. So for people that are like me, then it can be a very intimidating thing. I think as developers, we also have the imposter syndrome, right? It's like, okay, everyone around me is very
Good at
competent and
it,
they know what they're doing.
yeah.
Yeah, everyone somehow knows what they're doing. And yeah, where do I even start? Or why don't I let the other person on my team do this thing because they're more confident with it. There's just a bit of a threshold for a lot of people to get started, and the getting started part is different for a lot of people.
And what is your advice for people that come here? They are very lucky. They have people that know how to do it and are very keen to help. The students here are also very cool. They are all helping each other. It's a lot of but if people are at home and maybe they are trying to get in here or they're planning and coming here and they want to prepare themselves, there is an array of material from Unreal, like tutorials, like the amount of things that Epic put out to help people is amazing. But what would be you as an expert, what would be your advice on where should they start? What is a well one comfortable way to start? Because of course there are several ways of doing that, but your personal advice.
Yeah, I think if you are looking to become a student, then I would recommend trying to do your intake in Unreal, the intake assignment, because then you at least get some sort of introduction. You get a very specific task from us, make this thing, and then you already have some context to frame your first project around, which always helps. Once you're here, I think the most important things is to ask questions, especially from the teaching staff, right? We're here to help. I always learn new things from students as well. I'm still a learner, hopefully forever. And just because you're a beginner doesn't mean that we can't learn from each other.
Very
And
true.
I love helping out. Yeah, I'm being paid to do that as well. So go and ask questions. For the students studying here, I also have multiple resources to help you get started with self-study and give a direction. If you're not studying here yet and you're wondering, what do I do? Then I suggest, what are you excited about? Do you have no real idea of what do I want to make? Then find a cool tutorial series that could be interesting for you to learn from. If you're excited about a very specific thing, so maybe one feature, a double jump is something I would really like to do, then just focus on that one little feature. If you learn by studying examples, then there are so many free examples to download that Epic have released and are available for free on their marketplace, which is now called fab.com, short for fabulous, I presume.
I think so too.
there's really a lot of high quality content there that you can learn from as well. So it sort of depends on what type of learner are you. I think early on, don't be afraid to just sort of play around, drop an idea, move on to the next thing, try that out, just familiarizing, putting the hours in, right?
Yeah, and I would add an advice to that, which is put the stuff that you do out there. That I learned that from several friends in the industry. One specific is an animator called Thomas Jack that actually did a TED Talk once, and I was lucky to be there. He's an old friend, and one thing that he was talking is doesn't matter how big or small or how good or shitty what you're doing is, put it out and talk to people, because then you get, we think we're going to get criticized, but we get people giving you tips on how to make that better. Instead of getting criticized. Like, do you feel with the students, a lot of times when they are starting working with Unreal, they are very afraid of showing their what they are doing, that they think it's not good enough yet?
Some, for sure. Yeah, some do see that as a big threshold. I think I am one of those people. I don't, showing something or putting it out there online has always been a pretty big threshold, even though I did that a lot and still tried to do it. But it's a scary thing to do. It doesn't matter how long you've worked with the tool. But I do see it from my students, especially this year. It's really popping up a lot that they're just sharing their content, sharing their research, sharing their results, and they get so many cool replies and connections and feedback. And there's this loop going on where they make these great connections in the industry, and they're getting really solid feedback from specialized people, and it's really nice to see. So yeah, what you said, definitely 100% true. Something I should probably do more of myself as well.
Well, we're always learning. I think, and what I like that Thomas said was exactly that. He was saying his talk was called "Poop to the Stars," which is amazing, because he was literally comparing it to showing your shit, like because it was that, is that we think it's horrible, but other people will see other things and they will help you make it better, and it will also help you boost confidence. And of course you're gonna have people that will tell bad things as well, but I feel that in the industry the good overcomes the bad. And also we were talking about the people from Epic. They are super collaborative as well. Like, if you show and you tag, a lot of people that work in Epic also come and help. I think they even have a Discord of people that want to go and ask questions and get support, right?
Yeah. There's a support Discord for the Epic community where you're advised to share content. If you're working on a bit of a bigger project, they have a whole indie section on their forums as well, where people share their projects and there's a feedback going back and forth and support. So yeah, and what I've noticed myself in the industry, definitely there's a lot more positivity out there generally than negativity. You get a lot of kind replies, enthusiastic responses, and I think there's the flip side of that is that it's easy to be intimidated as well, right? Because if you're sharing a lot, it probably also means that you're looking a lot at the content that other people are sharing, which can be intimidating,
True,
and
yeah.
the imposter syndrome comes kicking back in. But it helps to contextualize that you do not know the background of this person or how long something took. I think I have a great example, something that I saw once that just made me feel like, whoa, how did this person do it? It was this military jet flying over the water, and you could see every individual part of this jet just sort of come out of nowhere and fly into the right place. And at the end of the video, there was this beautiful plane, jet, whatever you want to call it, was just flying over the water. I was like, whoa, this person just did an insane job. And then I was reading a bit more about it, and what it turned out to be is that it's something that all of us could do probably, because what this person did was just keyframe every element over the course of a year and a half or something. So after work, spend a few hours and then literally animate every individual part from a start to end point. And I was like, yeah, okay. So you have this beautiful end result, and they put a lot of time and attention to this. But it's not impossible, right? It's something I could do as well. It's just something that's cool to see. It shouldn't be intimidating, but it should be celebrated.
Yeah, and quite, I think also not only celebrate, it can be a starting point. If you were talking before that if you don't know where to start, you can see the examples of other people. That could be a great way to say, okay, I think this is amazing. I'm not gonna do this whole thing in a month, but maybe I can do the first, I don't know, the first animation, the first little thing that is there. Like you build up on that because I think in Unreal can be quite intimidating. Also, if you the same way that it's intimidating for being a big thing, the products also can be intimidating because they are really large, right? And how well, I was thinking when we're working with the students and they come here, they go and they have to do their first project with other teams also working in Unreal. How does it work for them? Like, so they are a designer in the first year, they are doing things by themselves, they are learning blueprint, they are individually, it's quite nice because you're getting the feel of it. But then you have to work with visual artists and with programmers, and suddenly that's another layer of complication on that. From your experience, does that work with the students when you're working in the engine with a collaborative approach?
Yeah, I don't have that much experience with year one Block D, which is the first time when they get together. I've only worked in year two so far. But I can imagine that coming together for the first time is also just a big social challenge, right? You have to sort of, what is your role in the team? What's my role in the team? And that will also be very different for every team. So if you have someone that's very passionate about level design and they know their way around the tools, they might spend most of the time placing the assets in the level and doing blockouts, but also replacing that maybe with the art assets. And sometimes you have artists that really like to be in Unreal, so they'll do their own collision setup over there and the materials and make sure that the assets that are there are just completely ready to use. Other times they're more comfortable in their Maya or Blender or whatever tool they're using. And then as a designer, you might have to do a pass on the materials or the collision. Same goes for logic, right? If you have a group of designers that is excited about coming up with ideas and play testing and validating the work and tweaking things, then the programmers might play a bigger role in setting up all the logic. So how does the character move? How can we let the character jump? But if you have a group of designers that are more comfortable technically, then they might be working on things like the character and the enemies, while a programmer is working on tools to help speed up the process, or what maybe a more complicated system, right? Like saving and loading of the game, or a mission system that runs in the background. So yeah, it will be really different, but I mean, Block D year one is the first. You've spent some time learning the tools, so you know a little bit about a little bit, and then you're thrown together in a group, and it's like, okay, make something happen. It's a lot.
But also on the year two, although they are already used to work in the team, they did use. Saying they are used to is kind of, they did one project in the year one, so they get some experience. But then on year two, they are more specialized. They have different roles. They learned about their roles, and suddenly their teams are double, triple the size of what it was before. So I think although they get experience, it's a new thing again, right? Like the fact that they have to, and also working with other designers, because they are going to be in a team that they are not the only designers making the cut. Now they have to work also with the team of designers helping make the decision. What from your experience, what is the biggest difficulty in working with other designers? Because I think a lot of times we talk about the difficulty as a designer working with a programmer and an artist, or as a visual artist working with other, like every variation has a mindset, a way of working, a process, and it has a challenge there. But also having a team with different designers doing different roles, like level designer, like UX, UI, what are the biggest challenges that you see from the variations of working with among designers with Unreal? Or in general as well.
In general, yeah, I think in general, a big challenge is alignment, right? Making sure that you're all working on the same game, the same features, and you can discuss things, you can have meetings about it, but everyone generally still has their own idea in their head, and then making sure that you're all working towards that same goal, that is a big challenge, and also making sure that you agree on what that goal is can be a bit of a challenge when working with other designers. What I do see a lot is that people at this stage, right, and when they're working together in this collaborative process and there's room to play to your strengths, then people play to their strengths and they do what they're good at. And in other cases, if they need to be a bit more flexible, then that's what you see as well. You see a very flexible attitude. I don't see a lot of really big common struggles outside of the obvious. We need to come up with an idea for X or Y or Z, and then making sure that you all agree on something and are excited to work towards that same goal.
Do you feel there are a lot of competitivity? Because I would imagine, well, not imagine, but I would imagine that it is possible that people on the same variation that are they want to show off that they know more or that they are their idea is better. Like, do you think ego plays a role when working with the teams like that?
I think it does from time to time. And I think the competitiveness that I see at BUAS here is more friendly competition between the different teams. Not a lot of egos that play a big role inside of a team. I mean, we also have
good.
An application process, right? Where, I mean, it will happen, but generally people come to a shared conclusion on something, and they do reflect as well at the end of the block, and it's cool to see that some people will admit, like, hey, I've gotten really attached to my ideas and I may have been defending it a little bit too hard. So that's something I need to learn from going forward. But I've never really seen it as a super negative thing that we run into a lot. No.
Well, that's good. I don't know. I don't think we are lucky. I think it means that we are good in when we're choosing the students that get in and teaching, and also teaching them how to use all their energy for positive, constructive things.
yeah, I like to think so, that we have a good constructive feedback loop going on.
Yeah, because in the industry, you see a lot more competition, I would say, especially in really, really big, really big teams. In all fairness, I want to go a little bit more technical, but I'm scared that I'm gonna make a mistake. Welcome to my podcast that I get scared of asking technical questions and making a big mistake.
We can edit it out, right?
No, that's the thing. I don't edit anything. So it's like whatever mistake I make here, you guys get it live. I
roll with it.
Yeah. No, I like that because I think it's the whole thing is I find Unreal an amazing tool. I know the perspective that we can use it for everything. I always think from the point of view of people using it for every day. I would say I wanted to ask you, what is the biggest learning curve that people should expect? Like, what in your experience when you were learning, you started learning, you got into it. What was the thing that you learned in Unreal that you went, oh God, this was hard to learn? You are very happy you learned afterwards. It was like, yay, yeah, big mountain that you took up. But when you were learning it, it was a thing that you went, yeah, God, this is hard.
Yeah, I think I have to go back to what I was just talking about as well. When we were talking about learning Unreal and following that process, when I was learning it, there wasn't a lot of content out there yet, not a lot of tutorials, not a lot of courses, that sort of thing. One thing I do recommend, and that was really a big struggle for me, is that if you are learning really at the early stages of the editor, you have no idea what you're doing, then make sure that you have the same engine version as the tutorial that you're following or the course that you're doing, whatever you're reading or following. Yeah. Make sure that the engine versions match up, because even the tiniest thing can sort of confuse you, and it will make sense to you in a few months, a few weeks, whatever, but one note can be called different and then you're just stuck. And I had that happen a bunch of time when I started learning, right? I would just follow this tutorial and then I'm like, okay, at the end of this video I'll start tweaking and playing around with it myself, and I would get stuck halfway through because I was working with Unreal Engine 4.12 and the video was made for 4.9 and suddenly something was called different. And I'm like, oh, nowadays you usually read about that in the comments, but I think the hurdle is just there's so many buttons, there's so many things going on, I mean everything is new, every panel is new when you're starting out. So yeah, take the time to learn about these panels, and the more that you start using the tool, the more that you start seeing the familiarities between the different features, and that you see, oh, I know what the details panel is in materials because I've used the details panel in a blueprint, or I've used the details panel in a behavior tree that I'm creating. What I would recommend, and what was really hard for me to learn and wrap my head around, is do not jump into multiplayer too early, right? Because multiplayer really kicks it up a notch, takes it to that next level. So I would recommend just waiting with looking into that, unless you're super passionate about it, but it will make things 10 times harder to learn. That I think that one was really the biggest challenge for me, to like, okay, I can sprint, but how do I start sprinting in a multiplayer context, where I don't make sure that all of my different players can sprint? So what I think for blueprints, multiplayer, all of these features, you'll have weekly moments where you think to yourself, aha, now I get it. And then the day after, oh no, I didn't get it. I think I get it now, but probably no. You know, it's like one of those things that keeps coming back. You're oh, I understand. And then something new pops up. I don't get anything anymore. But it's just part of the process. Yeah.
Hey, embrace the chaos, because that's going to be like, chaos, it's the up and down all the time. Yeah. Yes. I think I liked what you answered, because it really pretty much shows the frustration that game developers, when they are learning, get all the time. Is the thing of, I learned this, yay! And then next day is like, oh man, I don't know anything anymore, because it's a new thing and you have to start from zero again.
All of these things that you're doing, you're learning, you're also learning a lot about problem solving and finding resources. I think that's the biggest skill that you learn, right? Because I don't know all of these things by at the top of my head if I have to program something, but I know what to look for, I know what documentation to read, I know the terminology. So yeah it's not all going to be just inside of your head, but you'll get a lot quicker at finding answers, solving problems, and know where you have to look.
I will ask you something that I know people ask in Google a lot, and it's okay if you can't answer that, because I don't think even Google knows how to answer that. But a lot of people, when they are starting learning something new, especially something like Unreal, their question is, how long will it take until this thing will make sense to me? What is the learning time? And I think with Unreal is forever. You're always going to be learning something new. But how long should people expect, like managing expectations? How long does it take for you to create your first little thing that will give you that motivation to keep going? It's a hard one, I know.
Yeah, but also, I mean, we can place it in the context of our education, right? I mean, if you follow a few tutorials, if you spend a few hours and you have a template, then hopefully you have a proper intake assignment in a few days. That isn't great, and when looking back, it will be terrible. But you'll have learned a lot. You'll have a foundation, and you'll have your first thing. Looking at year two, how the students come in. Some are familiar with the tools. Some are really not that familiar with the tools. And we just spend a lot of time this year, I think, making sure that developers, designers in particular, can express themselves in Unreal. And I feel like a lot of my students at this point, when they come up with an idea, it will take time, but they can make that into somewhat of a reality, or they go onto that journey and they make something cool, and they maybe have to make changes along the way. But I think you'll have a lot of eureka moments, but when you walk away from our education, or when you go on an internship in year four, then you're able to work with the engine and make things happen. So not 3 years, but in 3 years, then you'll have some competency with it.
Yeah, and good is that in 3 years, you're actually getting internship in AAA studios, because I think a lot of misconception as well. They say, oh, it's going to take 3 years to do anything. No. It's going to take you 3 years to start working on a certain level that you're working with high quality things, but you are already producing like valuable content and like cool games with that thing, even in the first year. Like the 8-week projects on the year one are not maybe so sophisticated, but they are really well made and really good looking sometimes.
Completely agree, and generally really fun to play. So I'm always impressed by what people can already achieve at the end of year one. Yeah, and in terms of internship in year four, I have had students in year four that are way better at me at certain features of the engine, because they specialize. They work on this one thing. I'm a generalist, so I like to think that I know a lot about a lot of different features and tools. But if you see people that do their internships at this AAA studio and they show me their work, I'm like, oh, how did you do that? Or how does this work? And I'm learning a lot from them. You can achieve really, really cool things in a few years, and even sooner.
Yeah. And usually we end with advice, but you already gave the advice, so I will end the podcast with a different question. What would like team to learn in Unreal in next? Like, what is the next thing in Unreal that you want to get good at? That you're a generalist, you're constantly learning new things. Yeah. What is the next step for you?
I recently, because I did a lecture on it, started looking into PCG, which stands for procedural content generation. So it allowed me to really place actors in a level, so place a forest and then exclude like an area for a castle that I wanted to have there. And it really was a lot easier and more accessible than I thought it would have been beforehand. So that's something I'm excited to learn more about. Niagara, which is the tools that they have for particles, is one of those things that I know that I have to learn it, but I'm sort of afraid to jump into it because it looks overwhelming. So it would probably be the smart thing for me to do, but I'm still a bit too intimidated by it for now. So,
but it's nice to see, like, even you that have been working for a long time and you are an expert on that, still have the same, like, it's nice to know that this feeling of I'm intimidated, but I'm going to jump into it. It's a constant thing. It happens to all of us every time there is something new to do.
Yeah, and with Epic releasing so many, I mean, they're releasing so much, right? Now we have Megalites. I've not even had a chance to look at this new feature yet. And yeah, I mean, if you think you're done, then there will be something new to learn a month later.
That's very true. Tim, thank you so much. That was super cool.
Okay, awesome to hear. Yeah, I'm really glad that I could join you for this one. So thank you for having me.
Always. I will invite you again later on. I promise I will be better prepared on talking about technical questions next time.
No worries. No, I really had a lot of fun, and it's been years since I did a podcast, so I hope it went all right, and I'll do better next time as well.
It was lovely. Guys,
Good.
thank you very much, and I see you next week. Thank you. And then it went like